Okay, we're going to begin here on the bottom of Mem Vav Amud Bet. The Gemara here is continuing to discuss the machloka that we saw yesterday being Rabbo and Rav Chisda. The question that we were dealing with, which was precipitated by the discussion of the Mishnah, the machloka between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah, was the issue of Ho'il. Do we say the principle of Ho'il? The principle of Ho'il is that since I could do something, since something could happen, I look at it as if it might have happened. And if it did happen, then the halacha is such. So in our case, the discussion revolved around the principle about ofim yom tov l'chol, someone who cooks or bakes on yom tov for chol. Do you get malkot or do you not get malkot? Rav Chisda says you do get malkot because we do not say hoyo. Rabbo says we do not get malkot because we do apply the principle of hoyo. Principle hoyo being that if I had guests that come, then this would be relevant and would be ra'ui for them, and therefore I didn't violate the Yom Tov. On the other hand, Rav Chisda says, we don't apply that a principle of Ho'il, and if I cooked on Yom Tov for Chol, then I'm preparing food on Yom Tov for Chol, which is problematic. The Gemara then moved into the discussion of Eruvei Tavshilin. Eruvei Tavshilin is, how do we cook or how do we prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbat? And there we had the machloket between Rabbo and Rav Chisda. First of all, whether by Yom Tov coming on in Erev Shabbat, Yom Tov that comes into Shabbat, is it mutar midoraita from the Torah to cook, prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbat? Rav Chisda says yes, mina Torah, that mechinin mi Yom Tov l'Shabbat. One can prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbat, and there is no problem of preparing for Yom Tov to Shabbat. Ela, the Rabbanon were gozer that one should not do that, prepare directly from Yom Tov to Shabbat, because if we allow a person to prepare from Yom Tov into Shabbat, they'll come to prepare from Yom Tov into Chol, which would be problematic. So in order to avoid that, we have the rabbinic institution of Eruvei Tavshilin. And Eruvei Tavshilin will remind the person that the only reason they can prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbat is because they began that preparation prior to Yom Tov. And because of that siman or that sign, they'll know that's unique to Yom Tov to Shabbat and not Yom Tov to Chol. That was the position of Rav Chisda. On the other hand, Rabbo believes that one may not prepare from Yom Tov into Shabbat. Now, whether that's an Isur D'oraita or an Isur D'rabbanan is subject to Machloket Rishonim. According to Rabbo, do we believe that Yom Tov compare the first Shabbat midoraita? And then we have a rabbinic institution that says do not do it. And because of that rabbinic institution of do not do it, we need Ho'il to come and remove that rabbinic Isur. Or is it that when it comes to Yom Tov into Shabbat, Rabba, who in other places in Shas has a principle called Hachana, Chana de Rabba, that says that one may not prepare from Yom Tov into Shabbat, and that's a Torah restriction against doing such, that Torah restriction is removed by the invoking of the principle of Ho'il. And the Ho'il here, which is a principle min HaTorah, removes the problem min HaTorah. Then we still have the residual institution Durabunan of Eruvei Tavshilin to remind us of the Din. Now, the difference or the reason, the difference between these two opinions, something that we mentioned in Tosafot yesterday, is if you say that Rabbo believes that min HaTorah Yom Tov may not provide or prepare for Shabbat, and it's only because of Ho'il that we allow such a thing to happen. But if it were not for Ho'il, it would not happen. Then, as you mentioned in Tosafot, if that's what you believe, then one may only do things on Yom Tov in preparation for Shabbat, we have sufficient time that Ikle Orchim, that guests could come. If you do it with not sufficient time for guests to come, then you would be in violation of doing something on Yom Tov for Shabbat, not something that can be done on Yom Tov itself. Whereas, if you believe that, even according to Rabbo, it's only rabbinic, the Isur of Yom Tov to Shabbat, and Ho'il is just removing that rabbinic gezeira, the rabbinic institution, that would mean that even all the way up to the end of Yom Tov, according to what you could cook, prepare for Shabbat, because Ho'il is not a de'oraita Torah reason why you're allowed to do this. It's simply a rabbinic reason why you're allowed to do that. And again, the nafkamina will be whether you can continue to cook and prepare for Shabbat all the way up into the end of Yom Tov. Now, when it comes to the difference between Rav Chisto and Rabbo, the basic idea being that Rabbo believes that Yom Tov can only do things for itself. Yom Tov can only take care of itself. So since Yom Tov can take care of itself, I have to come up with a reason why I'm doing something on Yom Tov that has to do with Yom Tov. So in the instance where I'm preparing for Shabbat, Hoil Mikle Orchim, since guests are going to come, I'm really doing it for Simchat Yom Tov. I'm really doing it for Yom Tov itself. Happens to be that if I had leftovers, then I can use it for Shabbat. On the other hand, Rav Chisda believes that one can prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbat. And therefore, when you do something on Yom Tov, it can be specifically for Shabbat. It doesn't have to be for Yom Tov itself. It could be for the purpose, or the sole purpose of that could be for Shabbat, as Rashi phrases it over here, because Shabbat, v'Yom Tov, chado kedushahi. They are one kedusha, one holiness, tervayu Shabbat ikru. They're both called Shabbat, and because of that equality or that equalness between them, I can on Yom Tov do things that make me ready for Shabbat, not for Yom Tov itself, but for Shabbat itself. And the Ri, on today's daf, we're going to see, the Ri says that Tzorchei Shabbat Nasim B'Yom Tov La Mishum Tukusha Ati. It's not like what Rashi says, it has to do with that it's Kedusha Achat. El Klomer Ho Shehu Mitzvat Shabbat. It's a mitzvah for Shabbat. Im Lo Yasena B'Yom Tov Shuv Yosena. He doesn't do it on Yom Tov, then he will no longer do it anymore. Choshu Gom Ochel Nefesh De Yom Tov. Therefore, it becomes like Ochel Nefesh of Yom Tov. So the question of why you're allowed to prepare from Yom Tov onto Shabbat, Rashi says it's all Kedusha Achat, that's why it's fine. According to the Ri, according to the Tosafot, is because if I don't allow you to prepare for the Shabbat now, then there's no other option. If there's no other option, it becomes as if it is Ochel Nefesh on Yom Tov, as if it's necessary Yom Tov, because I have no option. I must do it in order to prepare for Shabbat. And we discussed yesterday that other point or other issue, which is the institution here for the protection of Yom Tov, or is the institution here for the protection of Shabbat? You can see in Rashi, and you can see in the Gemara here, as well as the Gemara in Beitza, where Rav Ashi specifically says that the reason for Eruv Tavshilin is to protect against the violation of Yom Tov. So a person shouldn't come to think, just like you can cook from Yom Tov to Shabbat, you can cook from Yom Tov to Chol, and the institution Eruv Tavshilin is there to protect the integrity of Yom Tov and not allow you to come to that conclusion. So it's about preserving Yom Tov. There are other Rishonim, and something I just read to you in the Tosafot sounds like that, that the real issue is protection of Shabbat, not of Yom Tov. Our fear is, if we don't have Erev Tavshilin, and we do not give you the way or means to prepare for Shabbat, people will not properly prepare for Shabbat. If that's the case, it'll be a diminishment in Kavod HaShabbat, and they won't properly eat on Shabbat, they won't properly have Kavod HaShabbat, and Erev Tavshilin was put in place to allow the individuals to prepare fully for Shabbat. So that's also another question as to the institution of Tavshilin. Is it done here for Yom Tov or done for Shabbat? That's just a quick summary of what we've seen until now. The Gemara now is going through different possible questions on those positions of Rav Chisda and Rabba, mostly on the position of Rav Chisda, who says that Yom Tov can be making the Shabbat. The first thing that we discussed was Behema Mesukenet, an animal that is on the verge of dying, and the fact that you're allowed to shech this animal for a kezayit basar, and kezayit basar, even though you don't eat it. Just because you have the potential to eat it, that is sufficient, and that sounds like Rabba's position, which we do invoke Ho'il. The answer of the Gemara was, yes, for Rabba it makes sense, that's Ho'il. Rav Chisda will say, Gamar Belibo, because he knows he's going to lose this animal if he doesn't eat something, then he'll force himself to eat it in order to ensure that the animal does have purpose on Yom Tov, that has a reason on Yom Tov, and therefore you don't have to invoke Ho'il. You simply check the animal because you know the owner is going to eat a piece of that animal today, and you can't eat the piece of the animal without shechting the entire animal. Right, so that's discussed in the Gemara. We're not going to get to it here, but the Gemara in Beitza discusses that, and that question itself is asked over there. Well, if it's all an institution for the protection of Shabbat, then why does it matter that you have the Erev Tefillin before Yom Tov? Even on Yom Tov itself, it would result in the same thing. You're right. When you're coming to protect Yom Tov, then it makes sense that you do it before Yom Tov, because that shows you or indicates the chashivut of Yom Tov by forcing you to start beforehand. But the question is posed in the Gemara and Beitza on the opinion that the real reason behind this is the protection of Shabbat, then why can't you do it on the day of Yom Tov itself? And the Gemara there answers Shema Yifasha, that maybe he will be Pusheya and he won't do it. We want you to start beforehand in order to ensure and be certain that you're going to do Kavod HaShabbat and not leave it to the last minute onto Yom Tov itself, but there's a high likelihood or a definite possibility that you will not keep the din of Kavod HaShabbat. And for that reason, you have to do it before Yom Tov, even when it comes to Kavod HaShabbat. Now the Gemara moves on the last line on Men Bavim and Bet. Eitavei, Lechem HaPanim Nechal Letisha Le'asara U'Le'achadasar Lo Pachot V'Lo Yoter. When it comes to Lechem HaPanim is eaten for 9 days, 10 days, or 11 days. Lo pachot, not less than that, and v'lo yoter, and not more than that. Ketzad, what is the way that we end up with these different permutations? Kidarko, in a normal situation, in a normal layout of a week, litisha, you end up eating it after 9 days. Ne'efen be'erev Shabbat, it is baked prior to Shabbat. Then, on that Shabbat, it's placed onto the Shulchan. It sits on that Shulchan for the entire week. And on subsequent Shabbat, it's removed from the Shulchan. So if it's baked on Erev Shabbat, and then eaten on the subsequent Shabbat, you have 9 days in which the Lechem HaPanim is around. And that's where the 9 days comes from. And that's what the Gemara says that Hidarko. In a normal situation, Litisha. Because Nefeh be'Erev Shabbat, Nechal b'Shabbat l'tisha, and it's eaten on the subsequent Shabbat 9 days later. Chal Yom Tov diot b'Erev Shabbat, if Yom Tov falls out on Erev Shabbat, Nechal l'Shabbat l'asara, then it's eaten on the subsequent Shabbat after 10 days. Because you cannot bake the Lechem HaPanim on Shabbat, you cannot bake the Lechem HaPanim on Yom Tov, that means it has to be done prior to those. So if Yom Tov is on Erev Shabbat, then you'd have to start baking the Lechem HaPanim on Thursday. So you bake it on Thursday, it's placed on the Shulchan that Shabbat, and then eaten the subsequent Shabbat, that's for a total of 10 days. Now, Shnei Yamim Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah, like this year, where the Shnei Yamim Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah fall out on Thursday, Friday, so then, Nechal the Shabbat, Lachad Asar, then it's eaten on Shabbat 11 days later. Lefi, Sheinu Dechel Lo Ata Shabbat V'Lo Ata Yom Tov, because the baking of the Lechem HaPanim does not override Shabbat, does not override Yom Tov. So in a case where Rosh Hashanah is on Thursday and Friday, you have to bake the Lechem HaPanim on Wednesday, then that Shabbat, place it on the Shulchan, and the subsequent Shabbat will be eaten, and that is 11 days later. Over here, Rashi discusses how they had such a case when you have Thursday, Friday, be Shnei Yomim Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah, because today we have it that it's instituted. We always have days of Rosh Hashanah, even in Eretz Yisrael. But in the time of the Mikdash, time of the Lechem HaPanim, then it didn't always work that way. You had 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. It only happened when they came Me'mina Mincha Ulamalo. If they came in late on the afternoon of what otherwise would have been the first day of Rosh Hashanah, then we keep a second day of Rosh Hashanah. That's one of the Takanot of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that don't accept Edim in a Mincha Ulamalo, and therefore they kept both days Kodesh, because they don't want people to be Mezalzel in that first day of Rosh Hashanah next year. So therefore they forced them to finish out that day Bikdusha, and then they counted the second day Bikdusha. Now what's interesting is, if Thursday, Friday is Rosh Hashanah, turns out that the subsequent Shabbat is Yom HaKippurim. So what do you mean it's eaten after 11 days? How's it eaten after 11 days? The 11th day is now Shabbat. And that 11th day is also Yom HaKippurim. Nobody's eating the Lechem HaPanim on Yom HaKippurim. So how do we solve that problem? Rashi actually brings down two opinions as to what we do. In the case where the Edim come in a Mincha Olamalo, when do we count Rosh Hashanah? When is really the first day of Rosh Hashanah? Is the first day of Rosh Hashanah Thursday? Or is the first day of Rosh Hashanah Friday? When we keep the 2 days of Yom Tov, which is the first day of Tishrei? There's one opinion that the first day of Tishrei is on Thursday, even though we force you to keep a second day of Yom Tov. Or are some that believe that the second day is Aleph Tishrei, and we keep the first day to protect the subsequent year so people aren't mezalzel in the Kedusha of Rosh Hashanah? Now, obviously, if the second day is the one that counts as Aleph Tishrei, there's nothing to talk about. Then Yom Kippur will fall out on Sunday, and there's no problem with eating on Shabbat itself. That's one possibility or one answer. The other answer or possibility is Motzei Shabbat, you could eat it. Yes, you can eat the Lechem Apanim on Shabbat itself, but on Motzei Shabbat, which will also be Motzei Yom HaKippurim, then you could eat the Lechem Apanim like in all Kodashim. All Kodashim, the night follows the day. So if the day is the time period for eating that which is Kodesh, the subsequent night will also be included with that day. So too over here, the Lechem Apanim may not be able to be eaten during Shabbat itself, but on Motzei Shabbat, you would be able to eat it because that's also Motzei Yom HaKippurim, and that would be 11 days later. Those are the two possibilities as to how they have Lechem Apanim, or they're eating Lechem Apanim that subsequent Shabbat. So now, here's the question on Rav Chista. Via Mart, according to you, Rav Chista, that says, Tzorchei Shabbat Nasim B'Yom Tov, that the needs of Shabbat can be taken care of on Yom Tov, then Amai Lo Dochi Yom Tov. Why doesn't the baking of the Lechem Apanim override Yom Tov? So according to Rashi, that question is, well, if they're Kedusha Achad, then why can't I bake on Yom Tov for the necessity of that Shabbat? Or according to the way Tosafot is expressing it over here, is that what's my choice? I have no other choice to prepare for Shabbat. Because I don't have any other choice to prepare for Shabbat, then I should be allowed to do it on Yom Tov because then it becomes like a Tzorech of Yom Tov. So based on that, Rav Chista, I don't understand why the baking of the Lechem Panim is not Docheh Shabbat. Bishlamo the Rabbo. According to Rabbo, who says that you're not allowed to prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbat, I understand why it's not Docheh Yom Tov, because the baking of the Lechem Panim is not Tzorech Yom Tov. It's not Tzorech Yom Tov. It's not Docheh Yom Tov. The only reason something is Tzorech Yom Tov is Hol Mikle Orchim. Hol Mikle Orchim doesn't apply to Lechem HaPanim. It's not given to Orchim. It's only put into the Mikdash. It's Kodesh. So that can't be the case. So then Amar Lei, Rav Chista responds and says to him, Shvut Krova Hitiru, Shvut Rechoka Lo Hitiru. When we said that, Tzorechei Yom Tov, Tzorechei Shabbat Nasim B'Yom Tov, that's only true when we're talking about the upcoming Shabbat. The Shabbat that's immediately after Yom Tov. So when it comes to the Shabbat that's immediately after Yom Tov, there the Rabbonon suspended their Isur and said, go ahead, bake on Yom Tov for Shabbat. Prepare on Yom Tov for Shabbat. But where the violation of Yom Tov only benefits a Shabbat in the future, that they did not allow. In that case, they did not suspend the Isur of preparing from Yom Tov to another day, and therefore it would not be permissible for one to prepare the Lechem HaPanim on Yom Tov itself for the subsequent or future Shabbatot. Ul Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Damar Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Asgan, Dochet Yom Tov, that it is Dochet Yom Tov. He believes that it works, that Lechem HaPanim you could bake on Yom Tov. Ve'enu dochet yom tzom, but it's not dochet yom ha-kippurim. You cannot bake the Lechem HaPanim on Yom HaKippurim, even though it's not Shabbat, because it has the same status as Shabbat, which is there's no heter ochel nefesh on Yom HaKippurim. Since there's no heter ochel nefesh on Yom HaKippurim, one may not bake on Yom Kippur, even if it's for Shabbat. So therefore, on Yom Kippur, you can't bake Lechem HaPanim. Whereas, on Yom Tov, you could bake Lechem HaPanim, because it is a din in ochel nefesh, you have heter ochel nefesh, one is allowed to prepare foods on Yom Tov itself. So then, Ma'ika the Meimar, what is the position of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel premised on? Now, Rabba can say, I'll explain to you the difference here. The difference between these two opinions is whether I apply the Ho'il or I do not apply Ho'il. I can say that the Tanakhama believes that the only way or the only reason one can prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbat is if you have the principle of Ho'il. And since over here Ho'il is not relevant or not applicable, that's why the Tanakhama says that you can't bake on Yom Tov for Shabbat. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says no. Shimon Gamliel says it doesn't have to do with Ho'il, but rather because Yom Tov prepares for Shabbat. And because Yom Tov prepares for Shabbat, that's why it's permissible. So according to me, Rabbi says, I can explain the difference between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. They're basically arguing, on whether Yom Tov is making the Shabbat or not. On the other hand, you, Rav Chisda, just said that it has to do with Shvut Krova versus Shvut Rechoka. Why would Rabbi Shimon Gamliel disagree with that point? If the whole issue is whether you compare for the subsequent Shabbat versus the Shabbat in the future, that should be irrelevant. What is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel arguing about? Michael Megma, Baha Bligi. That's exactly what they argue about. That's what Chisda says. Marzav Shvut Krova Hitiru, Shvut Rechoka Lo Hitiru. The Talmud Kama believes that they only allow you to prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbat when you're talking about the proximate Shabbat, the Shabbat that's immediately after that Yom Tov. Umar Savar, whereas Rabbi Shimon Gamliel believes, Shvut Rechoka, Namehi Utiru, even the Shabbat that is further away, the Rabbanan were not there. They suspended the Isur de Rabbanan on Yom Tov in that case, because it's still not something that involves Yom Tov to Chol. It's not something that's going to be confused, because there's a clear definition here that you're doing on Yom Tov for the purpose of Shabbat, which is permissible. It is permissible because it's for Shabbat. Now, that's, again, you could ask that question on both levels, so whether it's a question of it's Doraito or Dirabanan, meaning that it might be, according to Rav Chisda, when we say Yom Tov is Mechin the Shabbat, that might be only the Shabbat that is adjacent, proximate to that Yom Tov, and that's the Din Mi Doraita. If it's for Shabbat, Arichoka, then there's a possibility that the Doraita that does not work, and that is not permissible. Mi Doraita. Or you could say that both of them are just problematic Mi Dorabanan, just a question of where the Rabbanan suspended that Isur. Did they only suspend it by Shvut Krova and not by Shvut Rechoka? Or did they also suspend it by Shvut Rechoka? So you could explain that difference between the Krova and Rechoka as being a difference Min HaTorah, and they're arguing whether Min HaTorah Yom Tov can prepare for Shabbat HaRechoka, or you could say that it's simply an issue de Rabbanan. Did the Rabbanan suspend their Isur with regards to bringing on Yom Tov to Shabbat when it came to a Shabbat that is further out? But that will be the core of their machloka, the difference in their position. Now, the Rav over here says, why can't we say in these cases, Tosafot brings it up here, he mentioned it on the previous daf as well, the Rav says, why can't you say that the machloket over here between the Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Tanna Kamma is whether we say, Hoil v'yachol lifdoto, that you have the ability to redeem it. Because here's a possibility that you have something that's hekdesh. It only has hekdesh domim. It only has monetary hekdesh until it's placed on the shulchan, and then the bazichei levunah that are on the shulchan are mukravim, and that gives it kedushat haguf. Now, kedushat haguf you cannot redeem. But when it comes to kedushat domim, you could redeem it. So why don't we say, hoil, that you could redeem it. Therefore, it is possible that you could eat it on Yom Tov. And then you can invoke the principle of Hoil over here. So that could be that that's the reasoning behind Rabbo's position over here. And that's the difference. That's the machloka between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Whether we invoke that principle of Hoil, v'yachol lifdot. That might be the difference in their opinion. That's one possibility. The other possibility, as Tosafot notes, is that we do not invoke Hoil when something is not shriach, when something is not common. So if something is not common, then we don't invoke this principle of Hoil. It's not that Hoil is a free-for-all principle where anytime I can say Hoil, if I could have done this, such and such would have been the situation, and therefore, we don't always invoke it. We only invoke that when that is a shriach, something that's very common, very likely to happen. Something that is uncommon or unlikely to happen, then we do not invoke the principle of Hoil, and maybe that's the case over here as well, that we wouldn't invoke that principle of Hoil when it comes to pidyon, when it comes to redeeming. Tosfot asked that on the previous Amud as well, as to why, in some instances, we don't say Hoil. Why don't we invoke the principle of Hoil? One of the answers he gave there is similar to this answer here. It has to do with Shriach, whether it's common. The other possibility is that we don't invoke the principle of Hoil when it involves multiple Hoils. It's only when there's one Hoil do we invoke it. But if you have two Hoils in order to get somewhere, there we would not invoke it. So there are exceptions to this rule of Hoil, and that could explain the difference in opinion between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Anyway, that was the second question that we asked, and Rav Chisda's response to that question. Now, Meitiv Rav Mari, Shtei Alechem. You have a similar idea by the Shtei Alechem. The Shtei Alechem are the two loaves that come with the kvasim, the shlamim, on Shavuot. The Shtei Alechem. Einam ne'achalot, lo pachot mishnaim, they're not less than 2 days. Lo yoter ha'shlusha, not more than 3 days. Ketzad, nefot, Erev Yom Tov. In a normal situation, they would be baked before the Yom Tov HaShavuot, and Echalot, the Yom Tov, the Shnayim. And then they're eaten on Yom Tov itself on the second day. That's a normal case of 2 days. Chal Yom Tov Liot Achar Shabbat. If Shavuot falls out on a Sunday, then Nechalot, the Yom Tov, the Shlosha. It turns out that they're eating on the third day. Lefi, Sheino Duchelot, the Shabbat, the Yom Tov. So the baking of the Shtei Lechem can't be done on Yom Tov itself. Can't be done on Shabbat. Can only be done on Erev Shabbat. So you'll bake them on Erev Shabbat, and then they'll be eaten on Shavuot, which is on Sunday, which is really the third day. So that's the possibility. It's either 2 days or 3 days. Obviously, the case of a 2-day Yom Tov does not apply over here because that's only relevant by Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah is nowhere near the time of Shavuot, so it would not be applicable, would not be an issue at all. Rashi happens to note over here, which is interesting in itself, he says, Ushnei Yomim Tovim Shrosh Hashanah Davka are mentioned in the previous case because the Zman Lechem Pachim Lo Yushnei Yomim Tovim Shagaliot. There was no principle of Shnei Yomim Tovim Shagaliot. So it wasn't relevant to talk about 2 days of Yom Tov with regards to any Yom Tov beside Rosh Hashanah. Now that's interesting because that wouldn't have been the reason that you would say this. The reason you would say this is because Shnei Yomim Tovim Shagaliot has nothing to do with the Mikdash. Even if it was around in the time of the Mikdash and had to do with Lechem upon him, you could say the reason that we don't talk about Yom Tov Sheni with any other Yom Tov save Rosh Hashanah is because it's not relevant to Mikdash. In the Mikdash, with any other Yom Tov, they knew which day was Rosh Chodesh. They knew which day was the proper day. So they would never have this concept of Shnei Yomim Tovim Shel Galiot. It's only applicable, it's only relevant by Rosh Hashanah where they could have that problem or have that confusion. So Rashi claims it's because they never existed at the same time. Lechem Panim Shnei Yomim Tovim Shel Galiot. The truth is that they could have existed at the same time, it just wasn't relevant in the Mikdash. The only place it's relevant is by Rosh Hashanah. So obviously over here, by the case of Shtei Lechem, Rosh Hashanah is not at that time of the year. It's not going to be relevant. So therefore, you can only have it on second day or third days. Now, V'yamart, and if you, Rav Chisda, say, Tzorchei Shabbat Nasim B'Yom Tov, the Tzorchim of Shabbat can be done Yom Tov, Hashtud the Shabbat B'Yom Tov Shari. Here, where you can prepare for Shabbat on Yom Tov, Yom Tov B'Yom Tov Mibaye, why can't Yom Tov prepare for itself? So why can't you over here by the Shtei Lechem bake the Shtei Lechem on Yom Tov itself? You'll bake them on Yom Tov and you'll eat them on Yom Tov. That's Tzorch Hayom. Meaning that if you can tell me that baking the Shtei Lechem or preparing something for Shabbat on Yom Tov is considered a Tzorch Yom Tov or that's fine, then why isn't this considered to be the same Tzorch Hayom Tov? Should be able to bake it on Yom Tov itself without any problem. Why is there an issue with preparing the Shtei Lechem on Yom Tov? Now, why this isn't also a question on Rabbah himself, who says, Ho'il, why don't we apply Ho'il also over here, Ho'il Miknei Orchim? So Rashi gives an interesting answer and says that the Shtei Lechem are not Re'uim Le'achila until after the Hakravat HaKarbanot, until the Zrikat Dam of the Kvasim. And since it came to Efshel Le'Mevad Me'etmo, Do'dachle Yom Tomidit Lo Chazile, since you could have done it yesterday, we're not going to allow you on you to do something that is Now, Chazile is not Ra'ui on Yom Tov itself. It's not Ra'ui because you have yet to do Zrikat Adam. It would not be permissible to eat it. Tosafot criticizes Rashi's answer, but in the end doesn't have a better answer to the question, and therefore lends some support to Rashi's explanation. Amar says, Shani Hotam, there it's different, Amar Kra, Lechem. Because over here the Pasuk says Lechem. Now, this question was not relevant by the Lechem Apanim, because by the Lechem Apanim, the time that you have to put them on the Shulchan is on Shabbat itself. Nobody thinks that you can bake the Lechem HaPanim on Shabbat itself, because there's no Heter Ochel Nefesh on Shabbat. And that would be a violation of Shabbat, which obviously there is no suspension of Shabbat to bake the Lechem HaPanim. So Gemara didn't pose the question that way or in this form when it came to the Lechem HaPanim. But over here, where Shtei Lechem belong to Yom Tov and are relevant to Yom Tov, why can't you bake them on Yom Tov itself, just like you could bake on Yom Tov for Shabbat, you would bake on Yom Tov for itself? Our answer is that we have a special miut, the miut of the word lachem, which is ach, asher yaseh l'chol nefesh, hu levado yaseh lachem. That when ochol nefesh is permitted, hu levado yaseh lachem, that's for you. For you means lachem velo legva. That means that you only may do things that are ochol nefesh for yourself, for your benefit of yourself. You may not do it for the benefit of hekdesh. For things that are done for hekdesh are not called ochol nefesh. And since they're not called Ochel Nefesh, they're not permissible on Yom Tov. And for that reason, you can't bake the Shtei Lechem on Yom Tov itself, because those are Tzorech Gevoah, and Tzorech Gevoah does not have a dispensation to be done on Yom Tov itself. That that we just saw before Rabbi Shimon Leo is of the opinion that it is Dochum Tov Ma'ik in the Meimar. What is his position? What is his position based on? If we have Lachem to exclude Gavoa, then what's the din? So we look Abasho. He holds like Abasho. Damar Lachem, Lachem below the Nachrim. The preparations at Yom Tov are only permissible for yourself and not for a Nachri, not for a non-Jew. So the Heter of Ochel Nefesh is only when you're preparing for yourself or a fellow Jew. Is it permissible or is the cooking, baking on Yom Tov permissible? When it comes to preparing for a Nachri, that is not permissible on Yom Tov itself. Now, the one who holds Lachem comes to exclude Gevoa also holds that Lachem excludes Nachrim. That's what Tosfot says. Lachem lo Nachri, Lachem lo Gevoa, come in package, it's af, meaning also that you exclude Gevoa. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Leo was holding the Kabasho, says that it's only Nachrim and not Gevoa. It does not exclude Hekdesh. Since it doesn't exclude Hekdesh, then you are permitted to prepare for Hekdesh on Yom Tov. And that's why Rabbi Shimon Leo allows you to bake on Yom Tov in preparation for these items, because it's not a restriction. It's no problem. That's part of the permissibility of Ochel Nefesh. What's interesting over here with regards to Nachri is a couple of things. One is, do we invoke the principle of Hoil here? What happens if you have a ability to cook or bake on Yom Tov for a Nachri? Are you then in violation of Yom Tov and you get Malkot? Or can we invoke this principle of Rabba of Hoil? Hoil Mikle Orchim. Since there's a possibility that guests might come, that's enough of a reason to say that you're not Chayav in Yom Tov, even though the preparation you're doing is for a Nachri. Since there's a possibility of a Jew coming and eating it, do we invoke that principle of Hoil? So that's a Machloket HaRishonim. Whether in the case of Nachri on Yom Tov, or when one bakes for or cooks for a Nachri on Yom Tov, can we bring in the principle of Hoil to protect that individual from getting Malkot or not? Is the possibility of Hoil Mikle Orchim only relevant when you're cooking for a fellow Jew? Or can we say the principle of Hoil even when you're cooking for a Nachri, when you're preparing for a Nachri? Obviously, the Nafka Mina will be in a case where you're cooking things that a Jew cannot eat. If you're cooking or baking items that are only permissible for a Nachri to eat, then you can't invoke the principle of Hoil. In that case, you would get Malkot. So if you're cooking a Veivot for a Nachri, then certainly you will get Malkot because you can't bring in the principle of Hoil. So that's one question amongst the Rishonim. The other question, the other interesting case is a case where an individual is fasting on Yom Tov. Where you yourself are fasting on Yom Tov and there is no Heter Ochel Nefesh for yourself, are you then allowed to cook for others based on a Heter Ochel Nefesh? If you yourself can't utilize the Heter Ochel Nefesh because you are fasting, can you utilize the Heter Ochel Nefesh for others? And again, how does that apply to Hoil? So that's the same question or same type of idea that the Rishonim discuss over here. When it comes to this Heter Ochel Nefesh, where you yourself do not utilize it, does that still give you permission to do it on Yom Tov anyway? So now, Sholach Le Rav Chista the Rabbo. So now Rav Chista posed the question to Rabbo. Till now the questions were posed from Rabbo to Rav Chista. Now we have the other way around. Biad Rav Acha bar Rav Huna. He sent the message, he sent this question through the emissary Rav Acha bar Rav Huna. Mi Amrinan Hoyo. Are you really right, Rabbo, that we use this principle of Hoyo? V'hatnan. We have a Mishnah. Yesh choresh telem echad, someone can plow a single furrow. V'chaleh mishum shmone lavin, and then you'll be in violation of 8 lotuses. Choresh, here are the 8. Choresh b'shor v'chamor, v'hein mukdashim, v'kilayim v'keren, ush v'it, b'yom tov, v'hein v'nazir beit ha'tuma. So those are the 8 that you have here. How you count those 8 is subject to a machloket rishonim. The first way we'll look at it is according to Rashi. Rashi says the first violation is that your choresh b'shor v'chamor yachdav. That is kilayim. One is that lo tachrosh b'shor v'chamor yachdav. You're not allowed to plow with 2 different pieces. It's a violation of kilayim. And that's the first isur that you violate here. The second one is v'hein mukdashim. They are kodesh. Rashi says here, these are the second and third problems. They are problems because you have a shor and a chamor. A shor that is kodesh could be something that's ra'ui l'mizbeach. And since it's ra'ui l'mizbeach, you're now in violation of the pasuk of lo tavod b'b'chor sherecha, and all kodeshim are under that din, that one may not work with things that are ra'ui to go on the mizbeach. That's a shor that's kodesh, you're in violation of that. The chamor, obviously a chamor does not go on the mizbeach, it's a non-kosher animal, but a chor could be kodesh for bedek habayit. And if it's kodesh for bedek habayit, then if b'mezid you utilize it, you're in violation of mi'ilah. And that's what Rashi says. The first problem here is the problem of kilayim, shor, and chamor. The second isur is kodesh for the Mizbeach by Shur. And the third violation over here is Kodesh by the Chamor for Bedek Abayit or Me'ilah. V'kilayim Bekerem. And you're working with Kilayim Bekerem. So your work, what you're plowing is you're covering over while you're plowing Kilayim Bekerem, which is, depending on the opinion over here, whether that's simply some sort of grain and a grape, or two grains and a grape together, a seed together, that's a problem of planting Kilayim Bekerem. It also happens to be Shvi'it. Shvi'it, where one may not work the field. As Rashi says here, Dover Meshum Sadcha Lo Tizra. You may not plow your field or plant your field. V'choresh Todad Zoreya. And according to this opinion, then Choresh, plowing in the field, is a subset or a subcategory of planting the field. That happens to be a question with regards to Choresh on Shvi'it. It's a major machloket arishonim as to whether Choresh on Shvi'it is a din d'oraita, is asur min haTorah, it's only asur min d'Rabbanan, or, and also, whether it has a standalone isur. Is Choresh of its own isur, or is it a subset of another category? Rashi over here says, it's according to the opinion that says Choresh is a subset of Zoreya, and being a subset of Zoreya, you're in violation when you plow. Tosafot over here says that the Shvi'it over here is according to the Mandamar in Perek of Marikatan, the Choresh Shvi'it en Eloke, Muki Hachtahacha, but Torat Choresh Umechapeh. That the one who says that in general you don't get Malkot, or there's no punishment for Choresh, Choresh is not a sur on Shvi'it, or you don't get Malkot for it at least, then what does he say here? Which one of the violations do you have over here? He says that it's not only in a case where he is plowing, but they're also covering over the seeds at the same time. And so it's Zoreya and not simply Choresh. So that's how you get the Makot over here if you don't believe that Choresh is a violation. Be Yom Tov. He's doing this on Yom Tov. So here you're plowing on Yom Tov. Plowing on Yom Tov is a Melacha. So you're also in violation of plowing on Yom Tov. Kohen v'Nazir are the 7th and 8th violations here because they're Beit HaTumah. The area that you're plowing is a place of Tumah. And this individual is both a Kohen and a Nazir who has a restriction from entering into an area that is Tameh. So that's how you get the 8 violations according to Rashi. On the other hand, Tosafot does not see this as being the way to enumerate it. And he has, over here, Ubechinam Dachak. He says that Rashi, for no reason, went out of his way to Beshor Gufei Mechai Mishum Me'ilah. Even the Shor itself, you're in violation of Me'ilah, Umolah Chatat. Why do you have to talk about a Chamor being a violation of Me'ilah? If the Shor is Kodesh, even if it's Kodesh, the Mizbeach, you have 2 Isurim. You have an Isur of working it, and you also have an Isur of Me'ilah. You don't have to bring in the chamor to get that itzur. And the Ri then has other questions. And then Venira Lari. The lo chashiv lav de me'ilah. That here, the Mishnah does not enumerate the lav of me'ilah. The lo chashiv elahanach lave de laki alayu acharisha koshahu. The only things that are counted here are things that you have to plow. Even the smallest amount will get you in trouble. There is no minimum shear of plowing. Aval alav de me'ilah lo laki at yachrosh b'shave pruta. In order to be in violation of Me'ilah, you have to benefit from Hekdesh, the amount of a Shavei Pruta. So there is a minimum threshold for Harisha with regards to Me'ilah, and that's why the Ri says it's not counted here as one of the 8. We're only counting items that require no Shiur. V'kilei Akerim, and what about Kilei Akerim? If I read the Chashiv Trei Lave, the Kilei Akerim is actually 2 Lavim, Mishum Kilei Zraim, Mishum Kilei Akerim. So the Ri, how does he get to his 8 if he eliminates one of the items that Rashi mentioned in the Mukdashim? He has to come up with another Easter over here. His other Easter is that the Kilei HaKerem is really shorthand for Kilei Zra'im as well as Kilei HaKerem, where one has, even according to here, Tosafot discusses the opinion of Rabbi Yoshaya, who says that the only way you're in violation of Kilei HaKerem is if you plant 2 grains plus the grape together. That's when you're in violation of Kilei HaKerem. Tosafot says it's definitely in the opinions who disagree with Rabbi Yoshaya, but also over here wants to say that he also thinks that it's true of the opinion of Rabbi Yoshi himself, that you can be in violation of Kilei Zra'im and Kilei HaKerem simultaneously. When you plant multiple grains and the grape seed together, you'll be in violation of both of them. And that's what is meant over here by the Kilei HaKerem. The Kilei HaKerem, you're in violation of both Kilei Zra'im, planting different species, as well as Kilei HaKerem. And since you're in violation of both, that's what gets you to the 8 Yisurim when we drop Me'ilah out of the picture. That's the reasoning of the Ri. On the other hand, the problem with the Ri's principle is why do then you have to put Shor v'Chamor? Why do you have to have a Shor and a Chamor here in order to get to 8? You'll tell me, well, you have to have Shor and Chamor here because of Kilayim. That's how you have Kilei Behemah. When you put them together and plow them together, that's a problem with Kilayim. The truth is that when it comes to Kodashim, we have a principle that we have seen before in the Gemara Makot mentions, is that when it comes to Psulei Mukdashim, that's equivalent of plowing with two different species. Because Psulei Mukdashim are considered to be a different species. And therefore, you don't need Shor and Chamor. You could simply have an animal that's Kodesh that has a mum in it, and then you would have two species over here. So that would answer, or that would draw the question of why you need Shamor v'chamor. Shor v'chamor, according to Rashi, makes sense, because that's one of the violations here. Shor v'chamor is kilayim, plus he says that you're a violation of working with Kodesh, of Mizbeach, and then Me'ilah. That's why he needs the chamor, to represent that side of Me'ilah. According to the Ri, Shor and Chamor are not even relevant here. Me'ilah is not even in the picture. So why do you need Shor and Chamor? The answer that you could give, according to the Ri, is that that is the way the Pasuk formulates it. The Pasuk says that you can't plow with the Shor v'chamor together. The Mishnah, in giving the example of Shor v'chamor together, says Shor v'chamor, even though, again, could have done it with Psulei Mukdashim. They give the most basic case, which is the case which is found in the Pasuk of Shor v'chamor. Okay, so that's the different explanations here as to what the eight Isurim are with regards to this Lav. Now, here's the question of Rav Chista the Rabba. Iyamrin and Hoil. If we invoke this principle of Hoil, Achisha lo lechayev, it should not be chayav for plowing. Ho, v'chazei l'kisui dam tzipur. You could use it on Yom Tov. So now, the way that Rashi reads and the way that the question is stated here is, the charisha of Yom Tov should not be an isur. Shouldn't be an isur because you could be plowing, upending the earth in order to cover over blood of a tzipur. You're allowed to shecht on Yom Tov for ochel nefesh. You shecht the bird on Yom Tov, now you have to do kisui hadam. How do you do kisui hadam? You take the dirt, you loosen it up, and then you cover up the dam. So, Hoil, since I could possibly overturn the dirt in order to do or cover over the dam tzipur, therefore, I should say, Hoil, I'll implode this, that since that could have been the possibility, I'm not in violation of Charisha and Yom Tov. Why should I be in violation of Charisha and Yom Tov? So, that's what Rav Chista is saying to Rabba. If your principle of Hoil is right, over here, there should be no violation of Yom Tov because of Charisha. And Tosfot over here qualifies that the only time we would apply this principle is if the Dam Tzipur is right there. It's proximate, it's adjacent to the area that you're plowing. And if you went out to find other dirt to cover it over, then the blood would dry up and there would no longer be a mitzvah of Kisui Adam. So it's something that needs your immediate attention and can only be solved by you upending the earth or turning over the earth here, doing Chavisha on the earth, in order to cover over the Dam Tzipur. So that's why we would allow you to do this in this case. Now, it's obviously not in a case where you could be break it up yourself or turn it over without doing Charisha, because then we wouldn't allow you to violate Yom Tov in order to do this. Now, the only problem with this, and the Tosfot later on is going to say this with regards to the next statement as well, is, okay, why does this help you? Kisui Adam is a mitzvah aseh. Yom Tov is a mitzvah aseh and lot aseh. We never say that a mitzvah aseh is docha lot aseh and aseh. Yes, a mitzvah aseh is docha lot aseh. But why would it be permissible to plow on Yom Tov in order to cover over the Kisui, do the Kisui Adam for the Dam Tzipur? That's a violation of Yom Tov. That's not permitted. This is not an Aseh Docha Lo Taseh case. It's a case where we wouldn't invoke that principle. So then in the end, Tosfot says, I don't think that's the explanation of the Gemara. We'll see this in one second. That's not the proper explanation of the Gemara. So Amar Papa Rishmol, the case here is actually Ba'avanim. We have in our gears over here, Mekur Zalot. Rashi drops the word Mekur Zalot over here. Avanim Mekur Zalot is used in other places, describes stones that are used for toilet paper. So Tosafot in the other place it says Avanim Mekur Zalot are stones that are soft. And that's why they're good for being used as toilet paper, because they're soft. They do not have a rough side to them, and they won't hurt you when you use them as toilet paper. On the other hand, Rashi says that they are sharp stones, and that's why they are good for toilet paper. Obviously over here, them being sharp stones is not relevant. So Rashi actually drops, if you look in the Divrei Amatchel Avanim, by Rashi, does not have Avanim Mekur Zalot, he just has the word Avanim, just the stones. So according to Rashi, we're just talking about Avanim, according to Tosafot, it's Avanim Mekur Zalot, the soft stones. Ve'u'yot likot shan, and they can be crushed. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, Ukdisha b'yom tov mishari. Who allows you to crush a stone on Yom Tov? So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is, the case of where you're plowing in a field where you have these soft stones. You wouldn't have to plow the stones. All you have to do is crush these stones, and then you would get the dirt to cover over and do the Kisui Hadam. So the plowing is unnecessary to accomplish the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam. So the question then would have been sufficient. The Gemara says, why is crushing a good solution over here? Ketisha be Yom Tov, Mishari. Who allows you to do Ketisha on Yom Tov? That's not permissible. So Gemara says, you can do it in an unusual manner. Not in the normal way of Ketisha, but in a backwards or unusual manner. And then you'd only have an Iser Derabanan. And since it's an Iser Derabanan, the Rabbanan waived that in the face of the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam. Right, so the Gemara answers, no, this is a case of Tsunama. Case where we're talking about big rocks, solid rocks, bedrock. So if you have solid rocks over there, then the plowing of the rocks doesn't do anything for you with regards to Kisui Hadam. You can't invoke the principle of Hoyel over here because there is no Hoyel. You can't use these to do Kisui Hadam. Gemara says, Tsunama Barzria, that's very nice. But then why are you plowing? Why does your plowing have any relevance over here? You're plowing a bunch of rocks. Why is that good for planting in? Where it says, no, Tsunama Milamala, Bafartichoach Milamato has rocks on top and has soft earth on the bottom. So by plowing and pushing the rocks out of the way, now the soft earth is available to plant in it. But that which you're moving away with the Harisha are just the big rocks. Those big rocks are not useful in terms of Kisui Adam. Since they're not useful for Kisui Adam, then you can't invoke this principle of Uyo. Where it says, V'tibikle Mishum Afartichoach. Wait, just like by the Zriah, the taking away of the rocks exposes the soft earth below that you're going to plant in, well, so too, it should expose the soft earth that you could use to do Kisui Adam. And now we're back to square one, which is, we do have a possibility of invoking the principle of Hoyil over here. Elamaran Ravashi, Betina, that we're talking about here, a case of clay or mud. Betina Bar Zriah, who says, wait a minute, you're talking about mud or clay where it's not useful for doing Kisui Adam. Well, just like it's not useful for Kisui Adam, it's also not good for planting in it. So why are you plowing this area? Mar says, Bimetuta. It's a case where it's a wetland. It's an area that has a lot of moisture water in it. So it is a place where you'd be Zoreya. Nevertheless, that the clay, because it clumps, it does not come apart. It's not good for doing Kisui Adam. And so therefore, the plowing here is useful with regards to Zriya, and that's why you'll be Chayav. And we will not invoke the principle of Hoyil, because Hoyil won't be relevant over here. You can't use this item for Kisui Adam. Since you can't use it for Kisui Adam, you can't invoke the principle of Hoyil. And that's how Rabbo answered Rav Chisda. Hoyil is just not relevant over here. Now, Tosafot asks, as I said before, the question as to whoever thinks that Harisha or Ketisha over here is permissible on Yom Tov. The Gemara says, oh, Ketisha be Yom Tov, Mishari. Who allows you to do crushing on Yom Tov? Why didn't the Gemara ask the same question by Harisha? Who permitted Harisha on Yom Tov? Because Harisha is not Doche Yom Tov. So there are different answers over here. And Tosafot brings different possibilities as to why this is the case. Or why didn't the Gemara not ask about it? So one possibility is that when you do the Harisha for the purpose of doing Kisui Adam, it's a malocha she'ein tzricha legufa. Because over there you're plowing not for the purpose of the furrow, but for the purpose of getting the dirt. It's like digging a hole for the dirt. When you dig a hole for the dirt, then that's called malacha she'ein tzricha legufa. You don't want the ditch, you just want the dirt. Now Tosafot says that's a really nice answer, but that only works when you're inside the house. When you're out in the field, when you do something that prepares or fixes the field, even if you need the dirt, that's still problematic. So here where you're choresh, you're plowing the field to get the dirt to do Kisui Adam, it's still a problem of tikkun asadeh. And that would not be an exemption. That's not the right answer over here. So now, two possibilities of an answer. One answer, Tosafot says, is enochanami, that the Gemara could have asked that question. The Gemara could have asked the question on Harisha that it's an asay doche lota seve asay, and it doesn't work. There is no such thing as Harisha on Yom Tov. The Gemara came up with a better answer. But enochanami, the Gemara could have answered that way, then it's not relevant to plow in order to get the dirt for Kisui Adam, because it's just not doche Yom Tov. The Rabbeinu Tam makes another suggestion and says that the Harisha dikilayim koi. The plowing over here is the plowing of the kilayim, not of Shabbat. The lek el alav greida, because then there's only an isur. And for Kisui Adam, we would have asay doche lo tasay. But on Yom Tov, it's not relevant. So those are the two answers that Tosafot gives. One answer is enochanami. You could have answered that Yom Tov is not nidchet before Harisha for Kisui Adam, because it's an asay. And an asay is not doche, the asay and lotase of Yom Tov. But the Gemara had a different answer. Or the Rabbeinu Tam says that the question of the Gemara is not about Yom Tov, plowing a Yom Tov. Gemara is asking the question of Hoyel, why don't you apply Hoyel by Kilayim? By Kilayim, which is a lav greda, where you have an asay, doche lotase. So in that case, why are you in violation of Kilayim? You could say Hoyel. Hoyel, since it could be used for Kisui Adam, I shouldn't be in violation of plowing for Kilayim. And that's the way Rabbi Daniel Tam suggests that the question is being posed over here. Now we move on to the next question. Etve Abaye. Abaye queried, Hamavashal Gidhan Asher Bechalav B'Yom Tov. Someone who cooks a Gidhan Asher in milk on Yom Tov. Ve'ochlo, and then he goes as an eats it. Loke Chamesh gets 5 sets of Makot. Loke Mishum Mavashal Gid B'Yom Tov. First of all, he gets a violation, Isser, of cooking a Gid on Yom Tov. That's because Ochel Nefesh is permitted on Yom Tov, but cooking a Gid, which is not edible, is not under the rubric or the dispensation of Ochel Nefesh. So you're in violation of cooking on Yom Tov. Ve'loka mishum Ochel Gid. And then you get Malkot for eating a Gid and Asher. Cooking the Gid and Asher's problem, and then eating the Gid and Asher, which is also a sur. That's number 2. Ve'loka mishum Vasel Basar Bechalav. You also get a violation for cooking milk and meat together. This is according to the opinion that Gid and Asher has Tam Basar and has a din of Basar in it. And therefore, you're cooking milk and meat together. So that's a third violation. And then after, if you eat it afterwards, then you're also in violation of eating milk and meat together. So that's the fourth violation. And you're also loke from havara, for lighting the fire to cook this item. Now the Gemara says, if you apply the principle of hoyo, then you should not be chayav for lighting the fire to cook this item over here. Because he could have used it for something else. Meaning that he lights the fire here. The fire is useful not only for cooking this item. The fire is useful for other things that are permissible on Yom Tov. So if I have the principle of Hoyo, why am I chayav for the Havara over here? I shouldn't be a chayav for Havara because Havara has other options that it can be used for. And then we can invoke the principle of Hoyo according to Rabba. So Amarle says, no problem. Apik Havara. Let's get rid of Havara. Vayo gida nasher shal nevela. And we'll put in instead Gid and Asher of a Nevela. So if you Gid and Asher of Nevela, now the Easter will be an Easter of Nevela as well. Not only will it be an Easter Gid, you have an Easter of Nevela and an Easter of Basar Bechalav. It's obviously according to one who says you can have Easter Chalal Easter, you can have multiple Easterim over here. So you have Gid and Asher, you'll have Easter Nevela and Easter Basar Bechalav, and we'll eliminate Havara from the picture and it won't be a problem. V'hatani Rabbi Chia, when we had this Mishnah brought down in the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Chia, meaning that when it's a Braita, he said, or he summarized it this way. Look at Shtaim al-Achilato. Get 2 Mosetz Makot for eating. Ushlo Bishulo, and 3 for the cooking. So now, if the way we have it set up in our mission now, that works fine. Because the 2 eating is they're eating Gid and Asher, and eating Basar Bechalav. 3 violations of Bishul are Bishul Gid and Asher, Bishul Basar Bechalav, and Havara. Those are the 3 violations with regards to Bishul. Ve'i'ita, if your suggestion is right that we're exchanging Havara for Nevela, then shalosh al-achilat tomi ba'ilah. Then he's in violation of 3 yisurim for achilah. Achilat gid, achilat basar b'chalav, and achilat nevela. And that wouldn't work out to this summary or these headers that Rabbi Chia gave us. Ella, what you have to say here is, apik havara va'ayo atzei muksa. Muksa. You have to take out havara and put in trees or wood of muksa. So you're burning wood of muksa. Where it says, muksa doraitohu? Since when is muksa din d'oraita? Muksa is a din d'rabbanan. Here we're talking about makot min haTorah. You're going to tell me because he used wood of muksa that that's a problem? That's an iser d'oraita? I'm laying. Yes. Muksa is min haTorah. Dichtiv. Bayom hashishi v'chinu et asher yaviu. That it came on the 6th day and they had to prepare that which they wanted. So then we see from this that you're only allowed to utilize on Shabbat things that were pre-prepared, things that were muzmanim, things that are ready beforehand. If not ready beforehand and not prepared beforehand, then you're in violation of muksa on Shabbat or muksa on Yom Tov. And if that's the case, if you take atzei muksa and you burn them, then you're going to be in violation of Yom Tov. And the Isser Lav comes from here, that's considered to be a problem of milacha. If you do not prepare it ahead of time, then it's as if you've done melacha on that day. So, Vamalei, Va'ad hu de amart, aren't you the one who told us? By mina mi Rav Chista. I asked the Rav Chista, Vamila, by mina mi Rav Huna, that they asked the Rav Huna, Hevi se me efer. If you bring a se from the dust, or from the ashes, or from the dirt, it means from a, by the riverside, something that's a wild animal, not a domesticated animal. So you bring in an animal that's not domesticated, it wasn't mukhan before Shabbat. So if you bring in such a set, v'shachato tamid b'yom tov, and you use it for the korban ha-tamid on yom tov, mahu, what's the din? Can you use something that's quote-unquote mukse as the korban tamid on yom tov? Va'atamartan, and you responded to us, Allah, based on this, from the Pasuk in Yechezkel. The Pasuk in Yechezkel says, V'se'achat minatzon, minamataim, mimashke Yisrael, l'mincha, v'lo'ola, v'lishlamim, l'chaper lehem, n'um Hashem Elokim. So the Gemara assumes that because it's achat, it's a se'achat, it's the one, it's the unique, it's the korban tamid that we're speaking of over here. So they're bringing in the animal of the korban tamid. And based on that, it says, v'se'ah, velo ha-bechor. You're allowed to use for the korban tamid a seh, not a bechor. Rashi claims that it's because a bechor only comes from male animals. On the other hand, when it comes to a seh could be male or female. So that's what it comes to say, that the korban tamid may not come from something that is a bechor. That's something that was already pre-kodesh. Achat velo ma'aser. That it has to come from one and not from maaser. It has to be unique in and of itself and not come because it has significance amongst others. Maaser be'ma comes or has significance because it's one of ten. Since it's one of ten, that's what grants it that uniqueness. So you can't use maaser be'ma for your korban tamid. Minatzon, you can bring it from the tzon. Velo ha'palges. Tzon, here by tzon, there are different levels of an animal. A kev is a sheep. A keves is ben shana, is within the first year of life. An ayo, a ram, is in the second year of life of the animal. But the second year of life only begins after the 13th month. There is, between the end of the 12th month and the beginning and the end of the 13th month, there's that 1 month where the animal is called a pagase. He's in no man's land. He's not a keves, and he's not an ayo. He's somewhere between the two. But that's what it comes here. Minatzon comes to exclude the case of pagase. If it's a pagase, you can't put it on the mizbeach as a korban tamid. It has to be a keves ben shana. It's a keves, which is 1 year old. If it's already into the 13th month, it's no longer called the keves. Even though it's not an ayo yet, it's still not called the keves. It's called the pagase. We've seen in the past the machlokes in the Rishonim, and the Minchat Chinuch discusses this issue as to what is the real status of a pagase. Is a pagase a bria bifnei atzma? Bria bifnei atzma is its own entity. It's neither a keves nor an ayo. Or is it a safek? We don't know. It's somewhere between a keves and an ayo, and therefore it has both properties. And we're machmir l'shnei atzadim, because we don't know which one it is. Right, so that comes to exclude pagase. Mina matayim, it comes from one out of 200. The mimotar shtei meot, it comes over from the leftovers of 200. Shnishtaru bebor, they were left over in the boar. Mikan the orla shebatela bematayim. That teaches us that the Easter of orla is batel 200 to 1. So because it's batel 200 to 1, therefore if it comes from one part out of 200, it'll be mutar. So even if orla is in there, it'll still be mutar to use. Mimashke Yisrael, has to be a liquid that can be consumed or drunk by a Jew. Mina mutar li Yisrael. Something that is permissible for a Jew to ingest. Mikan amru, ein mevi nesachim min hatevel. So there we show that you can't bring nesachim from something that's tevel because a Jew could not consume such an item. Liocho lo yav mina mukse. I would think that also mukse is precluded from being used as a korban tamid. Amart, you said to us. Ma tevel miyuchad shisur gufo garam lo. Just like tevel, the reason you can't use it is because the isur applies to the item itself. It's an isur that's inherent to the item, and that's why it cannot be utilized. Av kol shisur gufo garam lo. So too, anything where the isur is endogenous to the item, it is part and parcel of the item, it's inherent to the item, that's problematic for the karma to meet. Yatza mukse. Mukse is not excluded by this because she'en yisrufo garamlo. The isur of mukse is not caused inherently by the item itself. Ela isur davar acher garamlo. It's an exogenous variable called Shabbat. Because it's Shabbat, this item became asur because of mukse. But that's an external imposition on the item. The item itself is not inherently problematic. It doesn't have an inherent isur to it. Viamart. And if you are correct over here that isur mukse is doraita, that the isur mukse comes from the Torah, then mali isur gufo, mali isur davar acher. Why does it matter if the isur derives inherently from it or it comes from something else? If it's usur min haTorah, how could you use it for the korban tamid on Yom Tov? How could you use it for the korban tamid on Shabbat? It would be impermissible if it was mukse. So that certainly cannot be the answer over here, that you're taking out havara and you're putting in mukse. That can't possibly be the explanation over here. Ve'od, and another question, ha'at hudamart, you're the one who is of the principle or of the opinion, Chiluk melachot l'Shabbat. That when it comes to Shabbat, we have a division of melachot. That means that if a person is in violation of multiple melachot on Shabbat, he'll have to bring multiple karbanot. Whereas, ein chiluk melachot l'yom tov. and Yom Tov, and you're in violation of multiple melachot and Yom Tov, you're only in violation of one isur. That is, lo taseh kol melacha. You may not do melacha on Yom Tov. So there's only one isur on Yom Tov. No matter how many isurim that you violate, there's only one punishment of malkot. It's not multiple punishments of malkot, as opposed to Shabbat. If that's the case, then how do you atzei muksa? How does that help you out over here? If you have atzei muksa over here, you're already in violation of bishul on Yom Tov. Just adding in muksa to it is just another isur on Yom Tov. Another isur on Yom Tov doesn't result in additional malkot. Now the truth is that the Gemara could have asked this question up front with regards to Havara and Bishul. The Gemara had Havara and Bishul, which also are both violations of Yom Tov. Tosafot says, Eino Chanami. The Gemara could have answered, had a better question, but the Gemara could have answered in that way up front, which is that you have both isurim that are involved. Ela apik Havara, v'ayol atzei asherah. Take out Havara and put in that these are wood of Avodah Zarah. Vazara mehocha, and the lav comes from here. So yibak biyadcha meuma min acherim. You may not keep anything that is left over of the shalal, of the booty, anything that's left over from that which you conquer. You may not keep anything that has to do with Avodah Zarah. So amarle ravacha braid the rova le'aye, benilke nami mishum lo tavi toy vayel beitecha. We have another restriction with regards to Avodah Zarah. Why don't we have another lav for that? El apik havara va'ayo atzei hekdesh. Take out havara and put in atzei hekdesh. These are our wood of hekdesh. Vazara mehalcha, and the lav comes from here, which is vasherehem tisrufun be'esh. The asherah must be burnt in the esh. Lo tasun kein la'shem elokeichem. Do not do this to Hashem your God. The Gemara darshan over here, lo tasun kein la'shem elokeichem, on the earlier part of the pasuk, which is asherehem tisrufun esh. There, Asherot, the Avodah Zarah must be burnt in fire. Lo tasu gen la'shem elokeichem is don't do what you're doing to the Avodah Zarah. That you're burning the Avodah Zarah, that you may not do to Hashem's property, to Hekdesh. And that's the Isser over here that he's in violation of. That's why he's getting Malkot, is because he's in violation of the Isser of Hekdesh. What we will do tomorrow, we'll mention this tomorrow, we'll come back and start the shiur with this tomorrow, is that the Gemara here is talking about a principle called Ho'il. Principle of Ho'il, which would permit you on Yom Tov to do something, even though it's not relevant to Yom Tov, because there's a possibility that it could be utilized on Yom Tov, and therefore I allow you to do this, even though in the end that's not what happens, and that's not exactly how the situation played out. But the mere possibility of it being permissible on Yom Tov is enough to allow you to do it on Yom Tov. That's the principle of Ho'il. But we also have a principle on Yom Tov called Mitoch. Mitoch is, since you could do something for Ochel Nefesh, you're also allowed to do it shalol ochel nefesh. One of the examples is havara. Havara is burning on Yom Tov. It's permissible to do havara shalol letzorach Yom Tov. If you're allowed to do havara for ochel nefesh, we now allow you to do havara even if it's not ochel nefesh because of this principle of mitoch. What we have to understand here is how does mitoch work and how does hoil work? Are they the same principle? And they work part and parcel, hand in hand with each other. And whoever holds of hoil will hold of mitoch, and whoever doesn't hold of Ho'il will not hold a mitoch, or can we separate between the two of them? They're two independent issues, and one works because of mitoch, and one works because of ho'il. The question is, well, if that's the case, how do I separate between them, or what's the difference between them? Tosafot discusses it at the end of Mem Zayim and Amud Bet, but again, we'll start off the tomorrow shir with that, discussing that difference, because it's relevant over here, because of havara versus the principle of ho'il that we're trying to invoke over here. Okay, stop here.